I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to SLC Fanboys, three guys who love Star Wars, comic books, gaming, movies, and fangirls. Adam Thomas, self-appointed Starfleet captain and Cylon sympathizer. Andy Farnsworth, comic book Jedi and George Lucas apologist. Tyson Webb, Comic-Con moderator and amateur Sith. These are the SLC Fanboys.
Welcome into the podcast, Andy Farnsworth and Aaron Zundel. This is our deep dive on Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, a movie we both liked a lot and that audiences seem to be agreeing with us because the numbers just keep going up for it as the word of mouth spreads and more people come off the fence where they were on the fence. I'm sure, I don't know anybody who didn't laugh at some of the trailer, even if they decided they didn't want to see the movie. They all thought it was funny. We also have a full trailer, we have a full review, spoiler free. If you haven't seen the movie yet, this isn't the one you necessarily want to start with if you're planning to see the movie. Go back and download our review of Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, because this time there's nothing that's off limits that we're going to talk about, including key plot points and some of the funnier scenes that were not in the trailer. So Aaron, in this, set the table for us.
Well, so this is a sequel to the original 95, and they said it was going to be, and you know, no one was really sure how it could be. And as you saw in the video there, you know, the you do see them pick up the original Jumanji game.
Yeah, it literally starts where the other one finished.
Yeah, but in 1995. I mean, it that's where it ends, but
it turns into a Sega Genesis game.
Yes, yeah, somehow it becomes a video game. Well, actually, this is the spoiler filled podcast.
Yeah, I mean, talk about it.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, the game is found on the beach by a character.
By the dude who you saw the sneakers at the end of the first one. If I remember right, it wasn't just on the beach. Didn't we see somebody's shoes come up to it in the 95 original?
I think so, but I think so. So I think that some child did walk up to it. I believe it was a different child.
Oh, okay.
I seem to recall that in the 95 version, they showed it was in Africa.
To know for sure.
So I think that was a bit of a retcon, but I could be wrong. But the point is that in this show...
No, you just thought it was in Africa because they played the bongo drums when the kids saw the game, and that's what always signified Jumanji was the playing of the drums.
That's right. So the game is found. The kid picks it up, as we all saw. He said, but he quickly dismisses it and throws it on a shelf and says, "Who plays board games anymore?" And goes to play
the next night
his video game, right? And then that night, the Jumanji game takes offense to this and morphs itself, right? And when he opens it up the next day, it's got a Jumanji cartridge. He plugs it in, and the rest is history. You know, this show, we talked about this in the review, succeeded where it absolutely should not have. I mean, and the original Jumanji as well. I mean, a show about, you know, a living board game. I mean, that show lived and died on Robin Williams to a large degree. This show was the same.
And a young Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, and this show, and Bonnie Hunt. This show lived and died also on its cast, but boy, it had a lot of fun doing it, and it sure lived. But, you know, to me, what was interesting was the original Jumanji, I think that in the long run, this show will be more well-loved. Maybe not as a classic, but as as a movie. I think this is actually a stronger film. I know that there was a lot of criticism with the original Jumanji that it was too intense and maybe too scary and too serious. And so, you know, I think one of the things that we need to discuss are the differences. It was still a wonderful show. It's a beloved show. I loved the original Jumanji, even though it was intense and scary.
I'm sure that you and your kids will be very happy here.
Every house has secrets.
Yeah, here's our trailer.
Everybody in town thinks the place is haunted.
Oh, maybe New Earth. I didn't remember.
What happened in this house?
Little Alan Parrish.
For about 2 seconds.
He just vanished about 25 years ago.
Is a mystery that began a long time ago when Alan Parrish was just a young boy who made an incredible discovery.
Jumanji, you want to play? Alan, look. In the jungle, you must wait until the dice read 5 or 8.
What's happening to you?
Ah! 26 years later, Peter and Judy Shepherd are about to play the same game and make an incredible discovery of their own.
Are you Alan Parrish?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Everyone thought you were dead.
Now.
Never shaved before.
They must roll the dice.
You're playing the game I started in 1969. I'm going to have to play.
And finish the game together.
It's not my turn.
Whose turn is it?
Sarah Whittle.
Alan.
26 years ago, we started playing a little game.
Whoa, God, sir! I've spent over 2,000 hours in therapy convincing myself that it doesn't exist.
Sarah, we're all gonna sit down. We're gonna finish it.
All right, so there's a trip back down memory lane for those of you who haven't watched Jumanji like I hadn't watched it in years and years and years. So I actually just remembered a few plot points that I had forgotten about in that original movie. So in that, I actually liked Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle more than I liked the original Jumanji. Now, I was 21 years old when the original Jumanji came out. Thought it was decent. I thought this was way, way better. But I think that's because... And this is what I think makes it work. It's a video game, which means all that ridiculous stuff that was happening in the real world doesn't make sense. It does make sense in the jungle, in the video game. All that ridiculous stuff can happen. So as far as I'm concerned, Jumanji was a much better fit as a video game that sucked people in than as a game that brought all that stuff to life. That's just me.
Yeah, well, and I think that there's some truth to that. I like the original and the idea of all these things running around, and I think that the main criticism with the original is it was a little dark and intense, especially
for kids.
I mean, you saw those alligators in the trailer and all
the
little
spider.
Yeah, I mean, it was intense.
There was more screaming in that movie than there was in Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, yeah, well, definitely. And I think that they took that criticism to heart.
The screaming in Welcome to the Jungle was much funnier.
I think they took that criticism to heart. To me, it was never that unbelievable because it's a fantasy film and I enjoyed that. I think that the biggest problems were that it could just be a little dark at times, even with but Robin Williams did carry the film, and that is the lesson that they learned with that, and they carried that forward. But you know, there's an interesting comparison kind of, I think, and tone is where these two films, I think it's where they both succeed. I think that it's good that they're so different in tone. And, you know, maybe we'll talk about that later about
obvious similarity that I had forgotten about is the idea of a kid in an adult's body. I had forgotten that Robin Williams was still a kid, even though he was an adult. He came back to a place he hadn't been since he was a kid. He'd grown up in the jungle, which had some really cool nods, which was one of my favorite things with the small nods in Welcome to the Jungle that led back to the original. But if they didn't have that, you could have accepted this as a completely different, unrelated movie.
Yeah, well, and that's where, you know, it is interesting. I'm glad that you brought that up, actually. So in Welcome to the Jungle, the one of the most brilliant moments in was for me the homage to Robin Williams when they stumble upon the treehouse where the name Alan Parrish was here is carved into the wall. And for me, you know, that was a really wonderful moment because, you know, when they said, oh, it's going to be a sequel to the original Robin Williams, I was like, how are you going to do that with Jack Black and The Rock? But, you know, of course they did it. They changed it to a video game. That made sense. But when they said they're going to have this really loving homage to, you know, these guys.
That can't be good.
When they said that they were going to do that... I've completely lost my train of thought.
Well, did you expect them to pull actual scenes that were straight out of the original movie, like this very choppy clip they were trying to play of the albino rhinos running?
No.
Because didn't they have albino rhinos running, or was that just a joke so they could say albino rhinos together?
No, I think that there is a comparison between this film and the other film, which is this this albino rhinos clip. They do show these same rhinos in the original 95 Robin Williams version.
Oh, okay. So I actually didn't realize that was a tie. Allen, I didn't know that the albino rhinos were in the original because I hadn't seen it in so long.
Well, they are, and I think we've got that clip if we can get this
one to
play.
Love technical difficulties when you're trying to do something. All right, so that was the albino rhinos in the current Jumanji, but then there's also the stampede that happened in the original Jumanji, and I know that one's going to play.
That isn't thunder. Staying put would be a blunder.
No, you're immature.
You are.
No, you're the one.
Well, they're fighting.
You are, but what am I? You feel that?
White rhinos, that's why they call them albino rhinos, but they're that light coloring that they were in the other ones.
Okay. Well, they certainly both get chased by rhinos, obviously.
But, you know, to me, like we were discussing before that clip went on the Fritz, you know, that loving moment when you know, they said Alan Parrish was here, the reason I really love that, in a lot of movies they say, oh, we're going to do an homage to the old star of this franchise, and it's always cheap and chintzy. That was really heartfelt, if only because of the implications of it. I mean, the game literally changed itself from a board game into a video game.
Right.
And in doing so, didn't just draw, you know, one player in at a time until the dice read 5 or 8, it drew a ton of players in. But, you know, some differences there. But yet, despite changing itself and making it a more modern Jumanji with helicopters, they imply that the one that Robin Williams in had no modern amenities of any kind. The implication there is that the impression that Robin Williams or the Alan Parrish left on the game was so indelible that the game could not remove him from it, no matter how it tried to change itself. Or that it has such respect for Alan that no matter how it changed itself, it kept his treehouse.
Right.
And I think another interesting piece there is, you know, the character Alex, played by one of the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, that's actually something I didn't realize at first until I saw a credit. Oh,
and
that
then
was
played
one of the
by
Jonas
Colin
Brothers.
Hanks later, who also got sucked in 96 and had to stay there. Unlike Alan Parrish, he didn't age. It's almost as though the game had learned a lesson about how much terror to inflict on people. And that, so to Alex Jonas, who had been in the game for 20 years, just like Alan Parrish had, he thought it had only been a couple of months and hadn't aged at all.
That's true. Instead of growing up. Although the difference is they had to finish the game inside the game, whereas Alan had to wait in the jungle until the next dice roll happened.
But the jungle was still inside the game. They were all inside the game. Alan was inside the game, and so were these characters. And so the implication is that this game has learned something from Alan and even may have had an affinity for him. And I thought that was kind of the most touching part when I thought through that.
All right. So that's first segment as we talk about Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle. Our deep dive continues after this. Andy Farnsworth, Aaron Zundel. This episode, we're talking about Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. It's a spoiler-filled deep dive, so if you haven't seen the movie, probably not. This is not the one you want to watch. Check out our spoiler-free review. But now we're talking about, in our first segment, we talked about some of the comparisons between the old and the new, the homages, the ways that they link together, how it compares. I liked the new Jumanji better than the old Jumanji. You found parallels, Aaron, that I didn't really catch on the first viewing, and I to be fair, I hadn't seen the original Jumanji in a while, but I like the new one better. So now let's talk about how the cast describes the differences between the two movies in their own words.
We wanted to make a movie that encapsulates what holiday spirit really means. The spirit of wonderment, discovering who you are.
Roll, please.
I have such a tremendous amount of love and reverence for the original movie and what Robin meant to my family. I loved it, like the world loved it. We wanted to make sure that the spirit of the original movie flowed through this continuation of the Jumanji story.
seeing any type of game that you go, oh my God, what is this? I want to play. And that curiosity is what got us in the game.
Yo, what's this?
This is a game that will always find a way to be played.
A game for those who seek to find a way to leave their world behind. Jumanji.
The four high school kids that are in detention, they get sucked into the jungles of Jumanji.
In the original, Jumanji came to our world. In this Jumanji, we go to that.
Ow.
Where's the rest of me?
They're in the game.
Fridge? Me, Spencer.
Martha?
These kids are now the avatars.
So that means I'm...
Bethany?
Bethany! Bethany!
No! I'm an overweight middle-aged man.
The game is survival.
Everybody run!
Stakes are very high.
That was so intense. I like Kent even with this place.
The most wonderful, awesome, badass character I've ever played.
I have to warn you, I think I'm a very strong puncher.
Wow! He's so good at that.
This film is packed full of amazing action sequences, and it makes me look really cool.
There's just so many moments that were big laughs, and frankly, they all came from me.
Damn, that is a man right there. Don't cry, don't cry. Don't cry, it's gonna be okay.
Jumanji!
Maybe we're all
in a coma.
What?
That old game machine must have electrocuted all of us, and now we're all... Oh my God!
You better get in there and save her.
I'm not gonna get in there. You get in there.
I got a backpack on. You don't get in water with a backpack. Everybody knows that.
See, that was one of those lines that only works because Kevin Hart is saying that. That seems like a ridiculous line from anybody else, but him saying it just works. And that scene where Jack Black gets killed, that's like, oh, whoa, okay.
You know, when they first fell out of the sky with the three bars on their arm, it took me a minute to figure out what that was.
Right.
But the second...
I thought it was a health meter.
Yeah, the second... It wasn't that much later when I went, oh, those are the lives they've got. And that at that point, the movie became kind of interesting to me on how the play mechanics were going to work. But certainly the characters... The way that this worked, this had so many great character moments, like you pointed out with Kevin Hart and the backpack. I mean, The Rock, you know, being this vulnerable, shy, insecure, nonviolent.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I don't have my allergy medication.
Yeah, I don't have my Claritin. And then, you know, he turns into a very strong puncher, you know, but he tries to be soft with it until he really gets into the groove. And just like a video game, they're flying all over. Or, you know, the Kevin Hart moment where
Kevin Hart shoves him off the cliff because he's mad.
Yeah.
That was funny. And I was like, oh, I bet they're going to regret wasting that life later.
Or when he hits Kevin Hart really hard, Kevin Hart like tries to punch him and he doesn't move. So he slaps him and he like goes flying and, you know,
into
the rock wall. But, you know, it was filled with all kinds of lovable moments that just had, you know, no real like story significance, but brought such a joy to the movie that it was hard to dislike. I mean, you know, Kevin Hart's character, when he hit his chest, his little bio stat sheet comes up.
I thought that was when I really said, okay, I'm digging this movie because to press their nipple to make it appear.
Yeah.
But that's what I liked is that it embraced the absurdity of being in a video game. So why not be able to look at your own character sheet and as they're learning about it, my weakness is cake? What does that even
and
mean?
That, so, and those, so and they didn't know until the moment when he actually ate a pound cake and then just exploded.
Out of nowhere.
Just blows up. And that is in one of the trailers. You see him blowing up.
Yeah, but
you don't know
realize why. Right.
You know, and this, I thought to myself, I was like, when I'm sitting in the movie, I'm like, so his weaknesses are cake and running slow. That's cake. That's just getting ridiculous and dumb. But the way they played the joke,
yes,
30 minutes later,
yep,
was amazing. And
well, the same thing, like, why can't I run fast? A football player who now has to run slow and doesn't get it. And meanwhile, you got The Rock running like at double the speed of everybody else.
Yeah.
That to me works. Like, that's what video games
smolder,
are like.
His special power to smolder.
A power was smoldering intensity.
Yeah.
He's doing it again.
Can you
that
say
works.
It again, but in a the way you did before, this way?
I liked when they're picking the characters and he sees Mouse, but he doesn't realize that it didn't say Moose. If you watch the trailer, it says Mouse in the trailer.
Oh, really?
It says Moose. But as you're watching it, you're like, you're not reading that so good, are you, buddy?
It said Mouse.
Yeah, it actually says Mouse on the thing.
That's
but he reads
funny.
It as Moose.
You know, I will say my favorite character in all of this, and I'm not a huge Jack Black fan, was Jack Black as Bethany. I mean, she was on the screen, mm-hmm. she was doing a wonderful job. But any time that, especially, I think my favorite moment of the movie is when he is teaching Karen Gillian how to flirt.
Oh, absolutely.
I did not stop laughing for 5 minutes.
But you know what? That works, too. I didn't think Jack Black was the funniest part of that
but
scene.
But Karen Gillian was the
Karen Gillian
other
was
half.
The best because she's smoking hot, and she gets this awkward, like, I'm going to roll my head around. She actually pulled a Nebula there because that was the part where she's... putting herself back together after she gets all broken up.
Yeah.
That's what she looked like as she was trying to flirt. And then, you know, you see in the clip
What's wrong with her legs? Did she twist her ankle? No. She's just forgotten what I've taught her.
Or that roundhouse kick where she goes flying through the air.
That was cool.
They played up everything exactly right. And I said in our movie review that I thought this was a great representation of a video game because it could fully embrace the ridiculousness of it and play it up. And that's what made it funny. If they'd have tried to have her be roundhouse kicker without it being ridiculous video game, I think it would have taken me right out of it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have enjoyed it.
I agree.
But it was amazing and hilarious and perfectly meshed between the two because they did that.
I agree. And I thought like the adventure scenes of this show was really good. I think we've got a clip with Alex, who is played by Nick Jonas. This is right after they encounter him, where he kind of leads the group through those treacherous tunnels and shows a bunch of the dangers of Jumanji. I thought this was really well done. I mean, this felt as adventurous as any great adventure movie.
I need you to follow me and do exactly as I say. Let's move.
This was Zach Braff.
Oh my God, you guys, I am so stoked you are here. You have no idea.
You are?
So stoked.
And then backs against the wall!
This game sucks. Watch your step in here. Stay off the white bricks.
What?
That was a great homage also to Raiders of the Lost
Ark.
Yeah,
and Indiana Jones. It had some great stuff going on. And then, but as much as I like the adventure in this show, I got to say, watching Jack Black play a spoiled, rotten 16-year-old girl, I don't think I've had that much fun at the movies in a year.
Black Mamba.
Okay, trust one another and never blink. Never blink. You guys, I think it's a staring contest.
What are you talking about?
Think about it. Never blink. Guys, who's good at staring and not blinking?
I'm amazing at it.
Then this is your moment.
Just say when.
And, of course, one of the weaknesses for Ruby Roundhouse is Venom.
Venom.
So, you know, that of course, the snake goes right for her. I thought that scene was really funny, too. Every time that I laughed at the thought of a hot girl in Jack Black's
body.
Yeah,
that was it.
Like, I was almost
that
like
was
I was
the
seeing her the whole entire time, which I'll agree with you then on your when you talk about how much you like Jack Black in this. You said it was best since
School of Rock.
Spence's School of Rock. And I probably...
I mean, I loved all the actors in this. They all did a great job. But for me, Jack Black was the highlight above the other highlights.
And, yeah, because that Bethany character... The more I think about that,
when he hugs Nick Jonas, and he's obviously in love with him, and I mean, it's just awesome.
Although that did lead to a slightly creepy moment at the end when, when you know, you got Colin Hanks now the grown version of Alex, and I was wondering what they were going to do.
Well,
no, I was wondering what they were going to do with that because that just feels creepier these days than it probably would have.
Yeah,
back
but
in the past.
But they played it perfectly, which is I'm married with kids now, but I named my daughter Bethany.
Yeah, that was cool. But who does Bethany end up with?
well,
these are important questions that I had at the end.
Probably
of the
movie. An overweight middle-aged man. She probably picked up some Freudian stuff.
Now
during
that
her time
knows
in Jumanji,
like to be an overweight middle-aged
man. Yeah, she's going
to
sympathize, and then she's going to empathize,
she's
and then
gonna
she's
going
to fall in love.
There's a whole lot that's wrong with
it.
This.
Really, I mean, it did mess up Alan Parrish. You can all these kids seem pretty resilient, but it probably messed them up too.
All right, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Our spoiler-filled deep dive will continue, and we'll talk about one of the big themes of Jumanji, which is one of the things I actually liked about it. That's not goofy, comical, or just video game. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, Deep Dive Review. Andy Farnsworth, Aaron Zundel. We've talked about our favorite parts. We've talked about themes between the old Jumanji and the new Jumanji. In this segment, we want to talk about one of the overall themes from this Jumanji that actually they say in the movie, which was one of the things that I kind of liked as I was watching it, thinking, hey, maybe this is even more than just kind of a fluffy, you know, action comedy. There's even a little bit of a theme that was really interesting, and it's even in the trailer.
Welcome to detention. Spencer, Bethany, Fridge, Martha, you're all here for a reason.
Hey, person walking!
You should be thinking about who you are and who you want to be.
Who you are and who you want to be. And actually, that's a theme that's in Jumanji, a game for people
who seek to find a way to leave their world behind.
Exactly.
And, you know, I really like that that became a really strong theme of this movie. I mean, it was obviously a literal theme in the sense that they became their own avatars, but it was a metaphorical theme in the sense that they had to choose to overcome their own personal inadequacies. I mean, even though it was The Rock, it was still, you know, what was it? Spencer, the character of Spencer, who was a, you know, 16-year-old nerdy Jewish kid. They keep, you know, making references to, even to the fact that he's Jewish. I mean, I think that there was at least once where The Rock said, "Uy vey."
Yes, he did. In fact, he says that in the trailer, too.
Yes, yeah, so, and, you know, but it, by the end of the movie, you know, these characters all have to kind of overcome their personal hang-ups to become who they want to be in order to accomplish the game. And, you know, I thought that was a great theme to have. I think that that is a theme that you are not defined by your personal or physical characteristics so much as who you are in your heart.
Right.
I thought that was a great theme.
And yet they all have incredible physical characteristics.
Yeah, yeah.
With the exception of Jack Black, who they had to... And that was interesting. They make the two nerd kids better, and they make the two, you know, already popular hot kids, they have to give them weaknesses.
Well, and everyone gets something that they don't have to experience another
shorter,
side of life.
Slower, as opposed to the big football player.
But, you know, it wasn't until I thought that was a really cool theme, and it wasn't until I really kind of like started to think about it and went back to the original Jumanji that I realized that it wasn't a prominent theme in that show. This idea of you need to choose who you want to be and this choice of I choose to be this person. But then I watched it and I realized that that is actually the finale of the movie is when Alan makes his choice that he's not going to run anymore and I'm going to choose that I want to be a man finally, that they win the game and the game goes back. And I don't wonder if thematically this didn't give a spark to the filmmakers of the new one. Either way, it was a much stronger thematic tie than I was even expecting until I watched it. And I was like, wow, that's actually thematically almost exactly what they're doing in the second show. So do we have that?
Once
yeah,
go ahead and roll that. Drop it.
And this is at the end when Alan's been running from this Van Pelt.
End of the line, Sonny Jim. Game's up. Start running. No. Aren't you afraid?
I'm terrified. But my father told me you should always face what you're afraid of.
Good lad. You're finally acting like a man. Any last words?
Jumanji.
Oh.
Jumanji.
No, Alan, no! Ah!
Thank you.
game didn't reward him there just a bit at the end with the dice roll.
That was the longest dice roll in history, possibly.
It was, but that is the culminating moment. He spends that whole movie being afraid and running from Van Pelt and being afraid of everything that's coming out of Jumanji. And he finally says, you know, I'm going to choose to be not afraid. I'm going to choose to be a man. I'm going to choose to be, you know, my father's son. At which point, you know, they win the game. That's actually thematically very close to what happened in Welcome to the Jungle.
Well, I thought that I'm trying to remember how it ended. I know that they get the jewel back into the tiger's eye. You know, maybe that's one of the complaints, is that I didn't get that same sense. Other than all these guys finally accepted each other, I felt like this was more of a high school coming together movie. Whereas Jumanji was like a single person's journey. This was more like a group. It spoke to more of the vibe of today's kids.
It did, definitely.
I see what you're saying with the parallels, but I didn't get that same feeling as I was watching it. This one was more like, how can we finally work together when we're so disparate in our own worlds? They couldn't even clean up the garbage together at the beginning of the movie, but by the end, they actually had to. The only way they could win this game was by working all four together at the same time. At the beginning, they kind of tried to do each thing themselves, but the only way it could win was when each person's skill finally had to come to the four, all in the final moment where they're trying to get up on top of the jaguar and get the jewel back in its eye.
But they did also all have to.
I did like the jaguar because I was a jaguar in high school.
Yeah, that was cool. Well, I don't know about being a jaguar in high school, but the emerald was cool. But I'll tell you, I mean, the thematically, I mean, at the end, though, I mean, The Rock had to, you know, decided he couldn't do it on his own because he was too much of a coward, right?
He was scared of the chipmunk.
He had to embrace his own kind of limitations, but then decide that he still wanted to be the hero. The same was true with the, you know, what was Fridge's character? Kevin Hart's character,
Mouse.
Fridge, Mouse Finbar. You know, he had to accept his
limitations.
Right,
now.
Right. But when he did and decided, you know, I'm not going to fight who I am anymore, you know, then he could control the elephant and wield the giant.
You know, the more you talk about this, the more I see like Jumanji is almost like a mirror to the original.
What I said. I didn't think that it was so much. I thought it was wholly disparate until I went back to the original and I saw that ending and I was like, man, it's his choice to choose to be who he truly wishes to be that is what brings an end to the game. And that's kind of, you know, loosely what happened to all the characters at the end of 2.
Yeah, no, that's true, because they wouldn't have won the game. In this case, they weren't rolling the dice because they're playing the video game. They have to beat each level. They have to defeat the boss, or they have to get past
right.
the challenge till they can get to the final part and yell Jumanji from the top of the jaguar statue.
Right.
But I guess they did have to accept each other, and then...
And even
you
who
know,
they
she
were.
Had to, she had to accept the fact that she could be pretty bad A when...
Right.
You know,
and she couldn't before. It was very hard for
her. She has to
kill
herself so that she can fall out of the sky...
Right.
And,
to deliver the gem.
To deliver the final thing, which was a pretty ingenious little piece of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a fair thing. Now, what if the actors in the show could be somebody else other than who they were?
I did run across a clip that we want to show that does play into this. I mean, this idea of you can be who you choose to be to some extent, not maybe completely, but to some extent. I did run across this clip.
This is from Screen Junkies, yeah. So I want to give proper credit to Screen Junkies. They got this out of an interview.
And we'll post the link.
And I'm curious if you could just walk me through a little bit about what it takes to be Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. First of all, you're Kathleen from Screen Junkies, right? I never forget a face, I never forget a thing. My mind's like a steel trap. I wake up at 5 a.m. and do 27,000 rip curls, bleed, blood, sweat, tears. That's the approach that I take to life. That's how I approach everything. Life is a delicious drink that you have to suck deep. There's no time like the present to enjoy your loved ones, your family, your things, that, the other thing, and then projects. I gotta go.
Now, the way that Kevin Hart especially is laughing makes me feel like those are all sayings that The Rock has either thrown out either on set as they're hanging around or just in all the different sound bites, because that was too dead on. Dwayne Johnson was chuckling a little bit like, ha. Kevin Hart's laughing like, you're nailing this guy exactly.
It's pretty good. Click the link. It'll be in the description to this video.
Watch the whole interview.
Yeah, watch the whole interview. It's quite good. So, you know, I think – and that – seeing that there were more links, I guess, going on to between these two movies than we kind of had originally anticipated, it did make me start to think, you know, what is going to happen for Jumanji 3? I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be one. I don't know how there cannot be one.
Why not? Why do you think there's going to be a third? Just because it's making so much money?
Well, this movie opened small, obviously, because it opened against The Last Jedi. I mean, it opened the weekend after The Last Jedi and got smoked.
Right.
Made like $7 million or something, you know, its opening night.
Well, they said it was a little disappointing, but they're certainly not disappointed with how it's gone
No, the numbers have only gone up. As The Last Jedi has waned and word of mouth for this movie has gone up, its box office has only increased. It's only doing bigger and bigger numbers. Now, obviously, that'll still peak at some point, but I mean, for a movie that is as universally loved as this show, I mean, I haven't heard of anybody who walked into this show yet and didn't walk out and say, I didn't love it.
And I think that's because you decide just from the trailer if you're going to go see it. Like
Even people who weren't going to. I mean, my parents. I mean, I told them to go see it.
Right,
but
they didn't say, I'm going to hate this, son, so I'm not going.
My parents walked in expecting to hate it because while they thought the trailer was amusing, my mother was expecting a remake of the 95 film, which she didn't like because it was, you know,
too scary,
too intense. And she also had no mind for The Rock. And my dad doesn't love comedy. So between the two of them, though, they both loved this show. So, you know, it's I think that this is the kind of show that, like I said, I've even sent two people to it who are apprehensive. They told me they were apprehensive, and they said afterwards, they didn't tell me this until after they'd seen it. They said, we weren't sure we were going to go, except you and your brother told us we needed to go. So we went, but when we walked into the theater, we were already having a stressful day, and we thought we were just going to hate it. They walked out liking it and loving it, actually. I think my father really liked it. I think my mother loved it. She especially liked the smoldering. She said
that part. You know, every time they referenced the video games, it made me laugh out loud. And every time they did something video gamey, it made me laugh out loud. And you know, if I had to wrap it up with what was my favorite thing, it was probably the first scene where The Rock and Kevin Hart fight each other.
Yeah, he slaps him.
Yeah, because first he suckers him, pushes him off the cliff, and kills him.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, that's a life they're going to regret later on. I actually thought that was one of the cooler things was this idea of how do you act when you have unlimited lives versus then how do you act when you're down to one. And that's actually something. As I was watching it, I was like, yeah, you know, if I'm playing this video game, you might lose one life because you don't realize you have a life yet. And then the second life, you're like, I can take a chance on something. But then that third time, you're like Nick Jonas. You just have to shut it down and wait.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was really, really cool. And if I had to say what did I like best, it was the original punch fight on the cliff. And then, to be honest, it was dying of cake. I just thought that was so funny.
For me, it was the teaching of the flirting was amazing.
Oh, I love that too. You know, it's hard to pick, actually.
But you, I got to ask, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be another Jumanji, whether it's in 4 years or 2 years or 10 years from now. I mean, the property's now much more valuable than it was. People thought this is going to be a throwaway. This is performing beyond expectations. Obviously, I think the things that you have to do that are going to be different. You obviously have to have an entirely different cast. That's now becoming a theme.
Yeah.
So
because they've already did these characters have beaten the game now.
Right. So you got to have a different cast.
But how do you do a different type of game? You can't just suck them back into a video game. Virtual reality.
Isn't that what and they're they in?
This one where you actually put on a virtual reality headset.
Yeah, but what, are you just going to suck
them
back
into the
world?
Then what else is there? You've used up board games and you've used up video games.
I think you try and go back to some version of going back out into reality. I mean, that was the original Chris Van Allsburg Jumanji picture book or children's book, I guess, had some writing.
Having it happen in reality?
Yeah, I think you go back to that. I think that you have the game morph again.
So here's a question then. Would you rather see that or would you rather see like a midquel, not a prequel or a sequel, but a midquel where, you know, what happened to Alan while he was in the game? Because you don't have to get to the
I want a whole new adventure.
Or what was happening with Alex while he was stuck in there, you know? You don't want any of that?
No, I don't mind spin-off shows and those kinds of things. But number one, Robin Williams is gone.
See, I don't know
gone.
How you could advance the story after this.
Nobody knew how you could advance the story after the first one.
Because we have video games now. And they were board games then. Board games still made sense in 1995. Kids still play board games now.
Board games are selling.
But how do you
bigger numbers
it?
Than they have in the last
maybe
20
the
years?
Trading card games?
No,
maybe?
Actual board games. Like I've got a client whose store is stacked to the ceiling with board games. It's the biggest board gaming shop in Utah.
But that's not mass appeal. Video games, everybody plays video games.
Well, I think that you can keep moving. I mean, even in 95, there were video games. I mean, in 95, Nintendo sold
more units.
Well,
that's what he said. In
units.
95, he said, oh, this is a board game.
Well, but the original movie took place in 95.
Well, I realize that.
With Peter and Judy.
Peter and Judy, they found the game. They were orphans. They had nothing else to do.
Okay, well, kids still play. Do you or do you not have board games in your closet at home?
We have them, and my kids play them.
Okay, so I think that that is the – I think that when you have one metalhead
– Studios don't think like that. Studios think, well, we've already done board games. We've already done video games. We got to do something else. That's how they think.
Well, all that you I can say is that I'm sure they'll bring it back into the real world again. I think that that's the way to do it, and then if you get a fourth one, I think they'll take it back into the game. But I think alternating it keeps it fresh. I think that there are ways to bring things into the real world. Maybe you find reality-altering properties.
But you can't go back on the ridiculous fun of this. You can't go back
no,
to a more
serious. No, it has to be a different tone.
But how can it be ridiculous fun if it's a board game? I don't think it can.
I've had ridiculous fun with board games.
Well, then maybe you should write it.
You ever play Twilight Imperium?
Nope.
That is 12 hours of ridiculous fun. Just go find four friends who've got 12 hours.
Or Risk or Monopoly.
Okay, not 12, but like 6 hours.
All right.
But the point is I think that they can do it. I think that they'll have some reality-altering aspect.
Well, there has to be. I mean, that's a staple of Jumanji.
Sure.
So I guess that'll be settled then when we get Jumanji 3. Welcome 3 the Jungle. No, I'm just kidding. They'll find some way to not have to use a silly pun in the name. All right. So you've heard what we think. We love Jumanji. We assume you did too, or else you may not have listened to this entire podcast or watched this entire podcast. But we'd like to get your thoughts. Join us on our Facebook page at slcfanboys.com and give us your thoughts on Jumanji. What did you like best? What do you think is the future of Jumanji? Do you agree with me that I think they're going to try to do something else? Do you agree with Aaron that they go back to the board games, begin an alternating path? Hey, he could be right. Aaron's right sometimes.
Maybe they'll turn it into a collectible card game like Magic the Gathering.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you were saying.
No. What I was saying is like it turned into Pokemon or Magic
sure.
the Gathering or something
you
like that
could.
Where they got to throw out a card. I don't know. I'm sure some creative writer could come up with something.
You will have to change the game slightly, but I do think that you will see a third is going to be almost guaranteed. I'm looking forward to it. I think tonally, I hope it's different again.
And I think that that's the way studios think. They want to do something different. They don't want to just rehash always the same stuff. But we're grateful for all of you who've been with us. We've been around for almost 2 years now, and we've got big things coming in 2018, some really, really big things. We'd like you to check out our other podcasts, SLC Fanboys, on iTunes, the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad, or go to Google Play Music. We're on Spotify, I think. We're going to as many places as possible so you can pick us up. These videos also on YouTube. Check the links below and join us and check us out for some of the other stuff that we do because we have a blast and we hope you do too.
Thanks for checking out SLC Fanboys. Fulfill your destiny and follow us on social media. SLC Fanboys on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.